House Judiciary Committee to order. It is Friday, March 22nd. It's 1:35 p.m. Before we begin, I want to thank Robert Montenegro, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Madison Truitt from the Juno LIO, except you're not Madison Truitt. Eileen from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phone. Present today, we have Representative Wool, Representative Kopp, Representative Ledoux, my vice chair, and myself, Representative Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is a confirmation hearing. The speaker referred the following appointment made by Chief Justice Bolger to the Judiciary Committee. For the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, H. Connor Thomas as a public member. Members have received the appointee's resume and Chief Justice Bolger's letter of support. We will now open public testimony. I would note that Representative Eastman has also joined us. Mr. Thomas, because you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not so clear if you're on a speakerphone, and we often have difficulty hearing what you're saying. If you can hear us, then go ahead and state your name, and you can proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. I can hear you just fine. I'm hoping that I'm coming through to you.
Sounds good so far.
Okay. All right. I guess give me some sort of a signal if it doesn't. But anyway, Chairman, thank you so much. Once again, as you know, and if you stated, my name is Connor Thomas. I am calling you from Nome, Alaska. I've been a resident of Nome for the last 40 years where I've practiced law. I'm before you today for a confirmation hearing with respect to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. I have served on the Select Committee for the last 20 years, since 1999, and would like to serve at least one more term. I've enjoyed the time that I've been on the committee in large part. I do think that it's important work. It's something that I care about. I think a lot of Alaskans care about, and would like to continue to serve. It also provides me personally with an opportunity for community service that I'm happy with and enjoy. So with that, I'll certainly entertain any questions regarding my time on the committee or background.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. I guess it goes without saying, if you've been serving in this capacity since 1999, you know exactly what you're getting into. Are there questions from the committee for Mr. Thomas? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. I was just curious, for since you have served for such a long time on the committee, do you think it helps to have a balance on the committee of lawyers and attorneys versus not lawyers or attorneys? And if so, what do you think would be a good balance in your 20 years of experience?
Well, through the chair, I do think that it's important to have a mix. I don't know that I know the right formula. But I do know that people that are not lawyers do oftentimes bring a broader perspective to the debate. They're not necessarily just focused on the specific statutory provisions or whose authority that we need to rely on in making a decision. So I do think that you're... the premise of your question is accurate. There's a pretty good mix, I would say, now on the committee, at least in terms of the public members, in that there's two attorneys and three non-attorneys on the committee. So I think it helps to have people that are familiar with the law, but I do think that it also helps to have those who are come at it from a different angle.
And follow up?
Representative Eastman.
Also through the chair. And over the time that you served on the committee, I was wondering if you could tell us, has the overall speed at which complaints are handled by the committee, has that changed much? And where it stands today, do you think that it's it's something that's about where it should be, or is there are there ways you think that that could be either sped up or slowed down as appropriate?
And Mr. Chair, Thomas, I'm happy for you to answer Representative Eastman's question, at least with respect to what the members of the committee have control over to deal with the speed. I would advise that you don't need to answer any questions about any potential statutory changes, because there are no statutory changes proposed, and that's not a question before this committee today. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. With respect to the speed, I think that there have been times when the committee has been slower than it should be, but a lot of that has to do, or it has had to do in the past, with staffing of the committee. There was a period of time there where we went through at least one legislative session where we didn't have a full committee, and it made it difficult, of course, for us to comply with our statutory requirements, and that included timely reflection and decisions with respect to complaints that were before the committee. The other thing that does happen periodically, especially during session, as you know, there are legislative members that are on the committee, and sometimes it's difficult to get people together to consider complaints, and the internal process that the committee uses does require in-person meetings for deliberation with respect to complaints. So sometimes that's not as easy as one would hope it would be, giving the fact that public members have other things that they're also involved in. They have jobs, and of course the legislative members if it's during session. So I think all in all, there's no particular changes that I would recommend with respect to complaints, but I can see that there have been circumstances that would lead one to believe that it's taken longer than it should. But I think the general answer is that they are timely.
Thank you. And follow up?
Go ahead, Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Through the chair. Now, I noticed in the letter from the Chief Justice about your appointment, he mentioned that, a whole year had transpired with no one applying to serve in the alternate public member position on the committee. And I was wondering, could you tell us, why is the committee having such a difficult time recruiting for that vacancy, and is there anything that could be done to improve that going forward?
Representative Eastman, I'm not going to allow that question. This is a member of the committee that has been happy to serve for more than 20 or coming on 20 years. He's not involved in advertising for that position. This is way beyond his purview, and it actually asks him to speculate. If you have another question, I may permit it, but I'm not going to allow that question. Any other questions for Mr. Thomas?
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. Actually, we'll get to comments in a minute. I don't see any other questions. We're going to open up for public testimony. Is there anyone in the room or anyone online who'd like to make comments about H. Connor Thomas's application to continue serving on the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics? Hearing and seeing no one, I'm going to close public testimony. And that brings us now to comments from members of the committee. Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thomas, I just wanted to thank you for your long commitment to the community of Nome and to Alaska Legal Services and to a number of activities of service in your community. And, of course, it goes without saying you have a long history on the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. So thanks for your faithful service over many years, sir.
Any other comments?
I have a comment.
Representative Eastman, go ahead.
Well, I think we're fortunate to have someone who's willing to serve in this position. And I think the committee may need to inquire further about what it is that leads this individual to be willing to serve. And and yet there are other vacant positions that have been vacant for some time, and we don't have those people before us to inquire why they are not applying for that position. So I think that's something worth looking into.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. Any further comments? I will just note, Mr. Thomas, I too appreciate your long willingness to serve in this capacity. It's oftentimes we see folks that serve on committees like this for 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 years, but you'll be passing the 20-year mark soon, and I know that is a reflection not only of your commitment to the issues you're addressing, but to that very process, and I think it's also a reflection that you really enjoy the work, and so I'm glad you were willing to serve again, and pleased that the Chief Justice nominated you. I don't even want to begin to guess how many Chief Justices have picked you over the years, but thank you very much. And Representative Ledoux does have a comment. I seem to have prompted something. Go ahead, Representative.
I just wanted to thank you for your service. I mean, 20 years on this committee is, it may be a record, so thank you.
And that brings me back to Representative Ledoux.
In accordance with AS 2460-130, the Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following Chief Justice's appointee and recommends that the following name be forwarded to the House for ratification: H. Connor Thomas to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of ratification.
The name will be forwarded to the joint session. After we adjourn, please stay behind to sign the confirmation committee report. That brings us next to House Bill 49, our second and final order of business today: crime, sentencing, mental illness, and evidence, sponsored by the House Rules Committee by request of the governor. Before we take up House Bill 49, I'd like to share my concerns about two topics. First, I was very troubled yesterday to learn that Governor Dunleavy refused to fill an Alaska Superior Court vacancy in Palmer as required by the Alaska Constitution and by state law. Article 4, Section 5 of the Alaska Constitution states, "The governor shall fill any vacancy in an office of Supreme Court Justice or Superior Court Judge by appointing one of two or more persons nominated by the Judicial Council." Alaska Statute 2215-170 requires the governor to select the judge from that list within 45 days. The oath that I take to serve in this office requires that I swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska. The governor took the same oath to serve as governor. The authors of Alaska's Constitution believed that it was important to have judges who were honest, fair, impartial, intelligent, experienced in applying the law, and committed to following the rule of law. To achieve this, framers of our Constitution established a merit selection system for choosing judges and a retention election system for retaining them. Merit selection ensures that the council has conducted an apolitical evaluation of the applicant's professional qualifications, and every judge is among the most qualified for that position. By refusing to select from the list of qualified candidates nominated by the Alaska Judicial Council, the governor is failing to uphold the Constitution. The governor's inaction is unprecedented in Alaska history. Both Governor Hickel and Governor Murkowski were sometimes unhappy with nominations from the Judicial Council. But each time, despite their dissatisfaction with the choices before them, they respected the rule of law by appointing a judge within 45 days as required by law. I believe Governor Dunleavy has failed to follow the rule of law. Second, I am troubled by the news of travel restrictions placed on Quinlan Steiner, the state public defender. We recently learned at a House State Affairs Committee hearing that the Department of Administration forwarded Mr. Steiner's travel request to come to Juneau to the governor's office, and the governor's chief of staff denied all travel for the remainder of this legislative session. There appears to be no precedent in Alaska history in which the governor authorized prosecutors to travel to Juneau to testify on crime bills, but refused the same courtesy and the same privilege to the state public defender. having the perspective of both the Department of Law and the public defender when reviewing any bills related to crime and public safety is crucial. And my experience in the Capitol has shown me again and again that appearing in person is an advantage. I'm reminded of a very experienced prosecutor who once said to me that one of the best parts about the American system of justice is almost everyone who is convicted is guilty, and that's a part of having a two-sided system where we hear more than one perspective. Because I am firmly committed to a fair and open process with a level field, we will continue our hearing on House Bill 49 on Monday. Moving forward, all Anchorage-based staff with the administration providing testimony on any public safety bills will only be heard telephonically until the governor's office decides to approve the public defender's travel to Juneau. We will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Monday, March 25th at 1 p.m. because our various committees on the budget have been completed. We will return to our normal standing committee time of 1 p.m. We will stand adjourned for the day. It is now 1:52 p.m.